Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. No matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Okay, so I'm going to, for those of you that are on the call, I'm just going to go ahead and talk a little bit about what this program is going to be about. This is the first of what could be many, and I just want to talk a little bit about where I'm coming from and what my focus is going to be to help you with your recovery. I want to welcome you to our live call on recovering from narcissistic abuse. My name is Kalia, and I'm the author of Spiritual Recovery from Narcissistic Abuse. And the ideas that I'm going to discuss on this call may push some buttons and push people past their comfort zone a bit, but these things need to be said for those who will benefit from it. I've been involved in relationships with narcissistic men and had friendships with narcissistic men and women. I've spent over 7 years studying narcissistic personality disorder in an attempt to understand the insanity that comes with being a victim of this disorder. And I have been a true victim. What I mean by that is I played the role beautifully. I went through the craziness, the depletion of my life force energy, the persistent self-doubt, the horrendous sense of betrayal, and even post-traumatic stress disorder. I went through complete loss of appetite, spent a period of time on antidepressants and sleeping pills just to cope with the most difficult times. And that was my first relationship with a narcissist. After the second relationship, I was equipped with something I didn't have the first time. And that was knowledge. Of course, I asked the common question of why did I attract yet another one? And the answer was simple, because I didn't get it the first time. I've come to understand that we continue to attract the same situation, different face, until we learn the lessons we're meant to learn. If you're in an abusive situation, it's because there's a part of you deep down that you may not even be aware of that is healing a core pattern of abuse. And until this pattern is healed within you, the cycle of abuse will continue in some form. Our tendency in this situation is to focus on the narcissist and the narcissism. Our tendency is to tell stories over and over again in order to make sense of what happened, and to receive validation that we're not going crazy. And yes, there is something wrong with the person we've been with. Initially, telling our stories may be necessary, but this is not the key to our recovery, and this is not why we're here on this call tonight. I want to discourage anyone from telling your story when we're here, because we all know the story. It's always pretty much the same story with a little bit of a different twist. Most of us know about narcissism, malignant narcissism, narcissistic personality disorder, and all the terms used to describe the personality that we've been dealing with. The personality comes with a certain set of characteristics, and most of us have a pretty good idea and experience a good portion of these characteristics in action. So I want to tell you that analyzing the narcissism, even though I did this myself, doesn't bring the healing. What it does is it lets you know that the person that you've been with has a set of crazy-making behaviors that have left you feeling really bad about yourself. And most discussion forums will continue to reinforce the idea that, honey, this isn't about you. It's about him or it's about her. He or she is a narcissist. And I'm going to challenge these ideas a bit on this call. I'd like to invite you to consider that this is indeed about you and not about the narcissist. So I'm turning it around a little bit. And as much as I used to love to label people, I don't really feel it's beneficial to do this anymore. Instead of saying that my ex-mates were narcissists, I prefer to look at them as wounded children who have developed narcissistic tendencies and behaviors. And I look at the victims of narcissism as wounded children who have developed an internal set of beliefs about themselves that keep them in a cycle of abuse. So both narcissism and its victims come from the same place, really. We begin as innocent children, and then life has its way with us. And what we end up with is a set of coping mechanisms that influence what we create in our lives. You can't truly be empowered unless you recognize that it is you who creates your reality. If it is you who creates your reality, then it is you who drew this person in your life to be your teacher on some level. And when you understand that you are the creator of your reality, you'll realize that you really aren't a victim. And on some deep subconscious level, you set the situation up so you could learn from it. And yes, the lessons are very painful. Oftentimes, that's how we learn. Until we advance on our path enough to realize that we don't have to continue to create painful situations in order to learn. So the things that I'm talking about aren't meant to invalidate anybody and their pain, because believe me, I know what the pain is about. But it's just looking at it this way truly does set you free. When we get into judgment saying, he is bad, I am good, you're really creating a situation that makes it much harder to heal and keeps you stuck. So yes, perhaps he or she's done a lot of really horrible things. Perhaps the behavior was really bad. But bad behavior doesn't necessarily make the person bad, and we can really get focused on that. We all can usually think of good experiences with the people we were in relationship with. That person may have developed a set of coping behaviors that throws the baby out with the bathwater in the end on their way out to get a new baby. And this is just what they have learned. This is what the narcissist has learned. We can't fix them. We can't fix how they do things, how they respond to us. We can't change anything about them. All we have now is ourselves. And this needs to be our focus. We need to be willing to allow the person that we feel injured by to be who he or she is and stop trying to influence that. We need to give up all ideas that we can change that person or fix them so that we can feel better. It just doesn't work that way. The only person we can change is ourselves. And the sooner we accept this, the better. With all this being said, I want you to know the focus of this group is to heal the self. This is about you, and this is about your journey. So let's talk about who you are and why you were a likely target for an emotionally abusive relationship. I see many victims of narcissism to be highly sensitive people. You likely have some deeply rooted feelings of lack and low self-worth stemming from the way you were raised. You may have developed a pattern of seeking validation for your self-worth from the outside. And that makes you ripe for the picking for those who have learned to get their needs met first by building someone up and then slowly tearing them down. The building up stage is the part that you may have lived for. This is where you get your needs met to be validated and seen as worthy. However, I want to draw your attention to something really important. And that is, if you give someone else the power to make you feel worthy, you also give that person the power to take your worth away from you. You've given your power away. So the only way to avoid this is to learn to build yourself up and don't buy into others' opinions of you, even if they are good. You are the only one who can determine your worth and value, and this job is completely up to you. You really do have to love yourself before you can have a truly loving relationship. And if you don't love yourself first, then you are once again giving your power away to someone outside of yourself to love you and make you feel lovable. So the truth is, nobody really has that power. What somebody else thinks of you or believes about you is really about them, not you. We're only able to love others and regard others to the extent we can love and regard ourselves. So we're like mirrors to each other. So I'm going to stop for a minute, and I see that we've got, I'm going to unmute you. Is it Corelia on the call tonight too, who's joined us? Can you hear me?
Hello, am I in?
Yeah, you're in. How do you pronounce your name?
I'm Corelia.
Corelia, that's a beautiful name.
Thank you. I absolutely love your book so much, and I know that, that everyone who reads it is going to benefit from it. I appreciate everything that you put into writing it, and I appreciate so much the fact that you're focusing on healing ourselves and overcoming all of this. I do have been in a number of relationships that I, you know, have been abusive in. Now I realize that they were narcissistic. And it's something I didn't understand at first. I realized that the first relationship was abusive after it was over, and then much like the story that I read in your book, my next mate actually used all of that information, you know, listened to me tell my stories about how horrible things had been, and just I think he just sucked it all in, so he knew how much he could put back on me. Anyway, I don't want to focus on that anymore, because now I realize that I have to take that power back, like you were saying, and I am working on it. Yeah, and it's not an easy thing, but I know that's the main goal here, is to take my power back and find out who I really am, because so many things have been put on top of me to mold me, whether I did it myself or, you know, someone else put it on me. I've been molded into something other than who I started out to be. So I appreciate what you've written here, because it's helping me take off those layers to get back to who I really am inside, and I'm really excited about getting there.
Well, I just want to congratulate you. I'm going to try it again, Corelia, right?
Yes.
I want to congratulate you just for saying the things that you did, because that's just really a start, is to recognize that this is a process, that this is a journey, and to commit to it as it seems that you've done.
Oh, absolutely. And I want to give back too, and help others, you know, knowing that I can't do that at this stage because I haven't learned enough to be able to help. But I know that I'm so committed to this, and I know there are so many people, you know, in the same situation, that I want to be able to help, as you have here, your stories and your songs and the book. And I love the Frog and the Prince story because, you know, that's something that's really on my mind a lot lately, is the princess fairy tale. You know, as little girls, so many of us want to grow up to be Cinderella, and we want our Prince Charming to come and take us away and live happily ever after. And even though we know real life isn't like that, a part of us really thinks that maybe it is. And it's so easy to get carried away by the person we believe to be our prince, and then later find out who he really is, and it's pretty scary at that point. So I'm very much opposed to princess stories these days.
I totally understand, and it's so easy to assign people who come into our lives as the prince in our fairy tale. And in a sense, we're kind of superimposing our ideal onto that person without really taking the time to know who he really is. And I think that's the danger.
Oh, I definitely agree, because I didn't take the time to find out who he was. I took plenty of time to describe who I was and what I needed, and he became all of those things just to suck me in.
Yeah, he became your prince for a while, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And I flat out told him he was several times, you know, because that's what I believed. I'm so deep into it that, yes, I did believe that. And then I realized the prince wasn't even a frog. He was a fire-breathing dragon. And he was, you know, the princess caught in the castle with a fire-breathing dragon and no way to escape. Thankfully, I have escaped. And now I had to do a lot of learning about that dragon so that I could understand what had happened to me. And I had to take time to be angry. Angry at him for the things he had done, and angry at myself for allowing it.
Right,
You know, I've gone through so many of those cycles that, and it is a cycle, and it's a process, but you have helped so much, and I know that you're helping so many of us.
Well, thank you. It's so good for me to know that there was a reason. I mean, it's not just the reason of being able to turn around and help others and write a book or sing songs that have to do with this topic, but just what I've learned about myself is so invaluable, I can't tell you. I've had such a huge transformation. And I really have these men to thank for that, because if they hadn't come along and opened me up, in a sense, to who I really am, I would have probably never discovered that. So I was able to see the gift. However painful it was, I was really able to see the gift in what they brought to me.
Oh, I completely understand and agree with you. I feel the same way, and it certainly wasn't the way I felt in the beginning, but I definitely have gotten there, and yes, it is a gift, and it's I'm looking forward to the rest of my transformation, because I've got a way to go still, but I'm going to get there, and I know it.
Oh, absolutely. I totally believe that about you. And how long has it been for you since you've been away from the person?
I left him, it'll be a year in July.
Okay.
So
still fresh.
It's still fresh. And it is, I have an additional difficulty because we had two children together.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, that's something that I'm struggling with a lot, because he has visitation time with them, and, you know, they go and spend time with him, and I'm concerned about them sucking up some of his tendencies, and that's definitely a struggle and more that I need to learn about.
Yeah, that's a hard one, and my heart really goes out for people who have children with these types of personalities. I fortunately, you know, I don't know. I do have one child, and I'm not quite sure if his father is or not. But there weren't problems like I imagine there would be if I had children with my obviously narcissistic mates.
Right.
So I know that that's an additional struggle, because you can't do a no contact. You can't completely cut off contact with these people.
Right. That's very true. And you know, I limit it as much as I can, and I have realized that, you know, the less contact we have, the best it is, because even a nice, comfortable conversation can all of a sudden turn around into, you know, the nightmare that I lived.
Absolutely.
And what is so empowering, though, is I not too long ago had to go to the house that we lived in, that he lives in now, and to get something. And I don't do that often, but it turned into very much what it always turned into when we were together before. You know, before I knew it, there was this huge thing going on and him accusing me of stuff and me just, you know, and it was so empowering to just get in my car and drive away and think, I don't have to stay there and deal with him tonight. I love it, you know?
And so what did you use? I'm curious of how you cut that incident short so that you weren't really in it for a long time. When you found yourself kind of reliving the past in a sense, what did you do differently this time besides get in your car and drive away?
That was probably the main thing that I did. I recognized where it was going and what was going to happen if I continued to play along, you know, to play the game that we always played, because it became a dance almost, you know, with each of us in our roles. Oh, it just, you know, the crazy stuff. And I recognized that the crazy stuff was starting, and I just said, I'm not going to do this, and I just shut it off. I shut off the feelings. I shut off my emotions. I didn't allow any of that out, and I just told him, I'm leaving now. I'm not going to discuss this with you, and got in the car and drove away.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was just, I was singing all the way, you know, as I drove down the street, you know, I'm free.
That's so wonderful. Those are the stories I like to hear. And I'd like to, Delphine, do you have anything to say?
I'm just listening because I am nowhere near her stage.
Well, that's okay. You know, you are where you are, and that's totally okay. How long has it been for you? Are you?
I am still with mine. We're apart right now, but I'll be 10 years in August, and it's just a never-ending story.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to just get past all the way he made me feel and the way he still can make me feel, the guilt trips and things like that. I really hate that feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said you're separated or?
Yeah, he's actually working out of town, so he's actually not in the house now. We don't
so that just gives
together.
You some freedom to have this conversation?
Yes, I can answer the calls that I want to, and the ones I don't.
Right.
Leave a message. So I try to avoid contact, but, you know, curiosity tends to get the best of me.
Uh-huh.
And I will listen to the messages. I heard what you said in the book. Let someone else pick up the messages. But I can't seem to get past that. I'm a very in-charge person. I have to know everything that's going on, and that's one of my problems. That's,
mm-hmm.
I think, one of my major problems is trying to control everything. I'm a control freak. I know that.
Well, it's good you can recognize that about yourself, because now you can do something about it.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do anything about it. That's why I'm on this call. I was raised that way. I was had to be in control when I was young in my parents' household. So that's just the way I've been all my life.
Do you believe that you can change that?
Yes, I can. I can change it. I just don't know how to change it.
Mm-hmm.
He needed my control at the beginning of the relationship. See, that was a wonderful thing. Somebody had to be in control.
Right.
Besides that, he's addictive personality as well. So I was battling two demons there. So I felt, you know, I'm codependent. I got a lot going on right now. So anyway, I have to try to keep myself alive so I can, you know, enjoy the rest of my life.
Right, absolutely. And do you, are you just planning on staying in the relationship and finding ways to cope, or are you thinking of leaving the relationship, or
for
you just not
reasons,
know yet?
For health reasons, I have to leave. I have to really separate myself from him.
Uh-huh.
Because he has created a monster in me, and I don't like that monster. I allowed him to create a monster in me. So I
yeah,
have
that's a good way to say it.
I allowed him to create a monster. So what I am is the result of the last 10 years. I don't like it.
So you're ready to make a change now?
Yes. Got to make a change because I had one stroke and I'm not going to have another one behind this situation.
Well, what is it that you need? I mean, what do you feel like you need to move forward and get out of that situation? What kind of support do you need to do that?
I doubt myself. I doubt my my judgment. I just have issues with. I never thought I had low self-esteem, but he has created that as well in me. I've always been a dynamic person. I mean, you know, personality-wise, otherwise, or you just, you know. But he has kind of like chewed me up and spit me out, and I don't like. I just don't like being that type of person. I blow off at the top, you know, drop of a pin. I mean, I don't know. He creates this jealousy between me and his kids and ex-wife. I don't like that.
Right, yeah.
I need some control over my own emotions. This is what it is. I allow my emotions to get in, you know.
Well, your emotions are telling you something, though. You know, I can sense and feel where you're at when you tell me that you're, like, going off at the drop of a pin and things like that. It's like I can sense in you that there's just, like, such a well-up of emotion.
It is, and that's not me.
Well, it's unresolved issues. It's 10 years of
yes.
Unresolved issues, don't you think?
I would think so because I was never that way. I wasn't that way when I met him.
Uh huh.
Very
so it's like when you sweep things under the rug, because when you're in these kind of relationships, nothing really gets resolved.
Right.
So they go under the rug and they go under the rug.
He has me down in my own knowledge. My own when I know something, I know something. He makes me doubt my own self.
Sure.
That's what how do I get over that? And by the time the conversation's over, I'm like, well, what the heck did I say? What, you know? Did I
yeah,
not hear this right?
When we doubt ourselves, we get angry at ourselves, too. That's another layer. Because intuitively, you know.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so when we allow somebody, and we really have to take responsibility for that, when we allow somebody to discount us or make us doubt ourselves, it's easy. It's just really easy to start building a lot of resentment towards ourselves and that other person.
Yeah, because I resent myself at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I resent him more, but I resent myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
I resent his children. I resent his ex-wife. I resent all of that. And that's not me either.
Well, it's probably just what you need right now. I think, you know, my experience and what I've learned from this is towards the end of our relationships, we're not necessarily really rational people.
Oh. Well, then it makes sense then, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's like there is a certain amount of insanity that's going on, and that is why, you know, we can, the woman that was helping me get out of my situation on a mediator level thought that I was the crazy one.
Yes, I read
that. Like, girl, get yourself together, you know, pull it together, because I was falling apart, because I was totally going insane. By that point, I was so, nothing made sense. I was so confused. I didn't know if I was making things up in my head, if they were real. I didn't know if my intuition was accurate or not accurate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's
That's
pretty crazy.
I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to overcome it, nor do I know how to deal with it.
Well, I think the first part is to get out. So that you can, because nothing's going to change while you're there. You know that.
Well, he's out. So, I mean, he's out. You know, he took most of his clothes, so.
Oh, you don't think he's coming back then?
Oh, from the last conversation, no. But it's just a matter of getting over this, you know, getting from A to B.
Yeah.
He's out of the home. I don't have, like I said, I can screen my calls. I don't have to take calls. I cut the phone off at night, so I, you know, he can't call me all times of night. I don't hear the ringer. But I don't know. I'm like I said, I'm used to being in control, and I can't control this.
Yeah, I understand. Hope we're getting some fuzziness.
Yeah, aren't we?
Yeah. Okay, it's better now.
Oh, okay.
So, okay, I misunderstood at the beginning. So he's gone. Most of his stuff's out. Does he still have a key?
No.
Okay. So you're pretty much got the house back.
Right.
You've got the house to yourself. And what I'm hearing is that your challenge is really letting go of it at this point.
Exactly. I know I need to, but I pray for his healing, and I've done that for the last 10 years. Nothing has improved. Matter of fact, it's grown to be worse.
Oop, I think we're getting some cutting out again.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on the phone. That's my son. Couldn't tell I was on the phone. But anyway, hopefully I'll do well. I'll get over it. Take some time through reading and praying, and you know, just knowing that I am correct in my thinking makes me feel a lot better. You know, like somebody else is going through the same thing. And I'm not totally off my rocker.
Yeah, and I think that's the important thing to know, because it's easy to feel like that.
And you were so correct when you said, you know, we talk about this, you know, the other person to validate our own thinking and reasoning and trying to understand. And I have done that so much. You know, just to get other people's opinion to say, well, you are okay. He's the one that, you know, and. That's not healing. You're right. That you're correct in that. That is not healing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think at first, and don't get me wrong on the stuff I talk about, I think at first we need to tell our stories and get validation because we are in a point of insanity.
Yeah, you're right.
And that serves us for a period of time, a short window of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there has to come a time pretty quick. I mean, I'd say within 3 months. Of leaving the relationship, it's time to kind of start moving past the stories.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it's time to start moving past the need for that outside validation.
Yeah.
Not, you know, don't beat yourself up if you're talking to your friends and saying, you know, I'm still confused about this or that. I mean, we all get some outside validation to some point. However, our true healing comes when we can look to ourselves for both kinds of validation, for the kind of validation that says, you know, you're beautiful, you're worthy, you deserve to be here, you have a good purpose, and, you know, just to give yourself both good and reinforcement and to be able to look at yourself and say, you know, maybe I could be a little more patient with the grocery clerk, or maybe I could be a little more sensitive with the coworker, you know, or something like that, where you're self-reflecting. And when you get to that point where you're really able to look at yourself and really, I'd say be accountable is the word that I'm thinking of for your own actions, whether they're good or bad. Give yourself pats on the back. You know, you did really good here. and also see where you could improve.
Okay.
So we're not, in a sense, becoming narcissistic ourselves. But I think sometimes, you know, sometimes we need to be a little narcissistic at the beginning of the breakup. And
oh,
what
yeah.
that means is being self-centered, being selfish,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not thinking that we need to take care of everybody else, because a lot of people are caretakers, caregivers, whatever. And you need to be able to be, to give yourself permission to be selfish, to think of yourself during this time that you need healing. This is time for you, and it's not time for you to be trying to fill other people's cup, because your own cup's empty.
I hadn't quite thought of it that way, but it makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes me feel a little bit better when I think about it, but too.
So it's okay to be totally self-absorbed right now, to work on filling your own cup. And I think I mentioned in my book that we don't really start giving back. We don't really start taking what we've learned out into the world and trying to help others until our own cup is running over. And that's when we really have something to offer. Does that make sense?
Yes, actually it does. It makes a lot of sense. A lot of sense.
Yeah. So, Corellia, are you still with us?
I am still with you. I've had to disappear a couple of times, but I'm back on. And
okay.
I know the frustration that, is it Delphine?
Yes.
I know the frustration that you're feeling. I mean, I remember so well being in that place. I remember just all of the crazy things that were happening, and not understanding and not believing in myself and losing, feeling like I was just losing my mind.
Yeah, exactly.
And I felt like it was all me losing my mind, because
yes.
that just had to be the way it was. So I definitely, oh gosh, those days were not that long ago, and it was a horrible time. But then when I started learning about the disorder, about narcissism, about where he was and what he was trying to do, it helped me so much. I just dug into it like I don't know what. I read everything that I can get my hands on, so I can learn more about it, so I can know how to fight it.
Well, see, once I lose contact, I can stay out of contact, because we don't have anything together. You know, we don't have a home together. We don't have anything of value together.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank God for that, yes, because it's really a different story when you do have things that you have to share.
The ex-wife is still in the picture, because she's probably still, you know, having to deal with him because of the children.
Yeah, you can kind of just send little prayers to her, because you know she isn't having an easy time of it either.
Yes, that's true. But I think she loves it. They feed off each other. But anyway, that's not me. I'm not dealing with that. So.
You don't have to play there anymore.
No, I'm concentrating on me.
Yeah, that's good. That's,
well,
that's where it should be.
Call.
Pardon?
I said, this has been a real good call. I mean, you know, I've picked up some interesting tips here to get myself, you know, I'm pretty good at night, but then during the day is when I don't know why during the day. I'm with other people during the day. That seems to be the worst time. I guess it's when he's, probably, you know, calling more, or I don't know.
Well, I think, you know, there's just times. This is what I've found, and you can share too, Corellia, what you found. But I found that there were just times that were harder, and you kind of ride the waves. There were days that were harder, days that were really hard, days where I thought, oh, finally, you know, I'm finally starting to feel strong, and then days where I didn't feel strong, and going, what happened? What happened to that strong feeling that I had?
Yeah, I had the strong feeling today. I did really good today. I was patting myself on the back. I did really good.
Those are good days to pat yourself on the back because I'm the same way, up and down, and some days are much better than others. Because each one has its own little unique things happening.
One of my issues is the fact that I'm afraid of him getting someone else. And I've just come to that reality is that I'm afraid of him going back to his ex-wife. I don't know why. Or meeting someone new and moving on and doing better, you know, than me. I don't know why I have those fears.
I think that's normal, Delphine. I really do. I think.
I just don't think that's normal.
Well, I think a lot of us go through that, for one, because when we're in the relationship, that was kind of maybe something that was held over our head, that we're easily replaced. That we're not anything special, so we can be replaced pretty easy. And so when we are indeed replaced, so to speak, and the truth is, Delphine, that you can never be replaced because there's nobody like you.
Right.
You know, that's the truth. However, the way that we ended up feeling within that relationship is that we have no value, we have no worth. And anybody is going to be better than we are.
Exactly.
You start kind of having that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so when somebody else enters the picture, then it's easy to feel like, oh, well, there's that better person, or all of a sudden this guy's going to be all happy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
he's
going to be happy and fulfilled, and his life's going to be wonderful because now he has somebody that's sane and has all these qualities that I don't have. And
exactly. See, that bothers me, and I don't like that. I gotta get some kind of control over those emotions, because I don't suspect he will change from narcissism to a real person, and not a different person. But it's just my thinking that he will, and provide for her better than he did for me. You know, and I might be missing something. I'm older now, and I don't feel like getting back out in the world and meeting other people. You know, I just don't want to do that. I'm sure I will, but at this point, I don't feel like I'm very pretty. You know, I used to feel very, very pretty. I don't feel, too confident in myself these days. So,
and that's temporary. That will pass.
I hope so, because that's definitely not me.
And this is the time for you to nurture yourself. It's not time to go get another relationship.
No, you're right. Right.
And they do it because they need that person. On the most part, most people with narcissistic personality disorder need to have that other person to feed off of.
Mm-hmm. The supply.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with love. I mean, that's what we start to think is, oh, now he's going to find somebody that he can really love. Well, guess what? It doesn't work like that. I witnessed one of my exes getting involved with somebody else, and let me tell you, I watched that person go from strong to weak in such a short period of time.
You mean the person he got involved with?
Oh, yeah. It was
really?
Like, and my heart just really went out because she just didn't understand what was happening. She didn't get it.
Yeah, I bet she got it now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say, but, it's an illusion that we think that the person's going to do better. It really does come from being beaten down over a period of time to where you don't have a good feeling of self-worth or value. As you become more stronger in yourself and start feeling your value, then you'll start to see things differently.
I'll be so glad when that time comes. I'm trying not to rush it. I just want to get out of this bad feeling, you know? know.
Yeah, I totally know.
And it's a process. It's like going through a tunnel that you can't get out of until you work through all the things that you have to, and then you'll come through the end of the tunnel. That's how I've come to see things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a very good way to look at it.
It is a good way to look at it. So.
Yeah, you can't jump out in the middle of it. But you have to go all the way through it.
You'd
yeah.
like
and,
to, though.
I want to jump out. Yeah, I want to leave the country. Just, you know, like, if I could just get away, I'd probably feel better. But then
Sometimes that works. Sometimes it's good to take a trip and change your circumstances.
Well, I was taking one in September, but I want to just go now. I mean,
yeah.
I want it over with. I want, you know, I don't want to carry these emotions around too much longer. They're just not healthy.
Well, I do like the analogy of going through the tunnel and, you know, finding the gifts that are in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's through that pain that we find our greatest healing. Kind of what you call the dark night of the soul. So walking through the tunnel is like going through the dark night of the soul.
I like that a lot. I think that fits both of they tie together exactly like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then when you finally come out at the other end, it's like a rebirth. You know, you kind of look at that tunnel like being born, going through that tunnel of the womb where your head's being smashed and, you know, it's not a... I don't quite remember my birth. A lot of people do. But I don't imagine it's probably real pleasant, you know, trying to get your head through that canal.
Tunnel, huh? Yeah.
And then you get kind of cast into a strange world. And,
that's true. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, when you do come out, when you do find the light at the end of the tunnel, that's where the beauty is. That's where the gifts are. That's where you can kind of put your hands up in the air and say, you know, thank God I've come through, and there's a new life waiting for me.
Delphine, have you ever thought about looking to find a support group of some type? I am involved in a support group, overcoming abusive relationships, and it helps me tremendously to be in a group with other women who have been through, you know, similar situations. That it's just so wonderful to talk to people who really know what you're going through.
Well,
so I don't know if that's something that, you know, you can look into or...
I can. We don't have anything local that I know of because, this is not an illness that is very obvious to people. You know, like addiction, crack addiction, alcohol, those things, that, you know, they have kind of support groups, you know, like more than one or two. You can find those plentiful, but narcissistic personality disorder is just not something that I think people come in contact with too often in this area.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. What I did was I found a group through the local women's shelter because women's shelters are where women who've been abused, whether
mm-hmm.
narcissistic or not,
mm-hmm.
You know, go to. And, in fact, I use those services myself in my escape from him. I had to do that. It was my only way out. I had to plan and take my children and run away and disappear. And it was a difficult thing for me to do, but I knew it was the only way I could break away.
Right.
That's why I'm saying, if you try to find, you know, try to find a shelter, a women's shelter, and check into that, because not that you would necessarily need to go to the shelter, but that they do provide counseling, and they do a lot of times have support groups
mm-hmm.
that can, you know, because that's the support group that I'm going to now, and I'm not in the shelter any longer, and all of the women that are in the group aren't necessarily weren't necessarily with a narcissistic person that they know of. You know, they may have been, they just weren't aware of a narcissistic personality disorder. They just, you know, they were abused by their spouses and they didn't know any more than that. But that's a suggestion that I have for you, because it truly has helped me so very much.
I will look into that, because I do know of a small group in the area that I might could attend. I will look into that. I will take that in consideration, because at this point, I need something.
Yeah,
and I think that, you know, I think that this book that Kaylee wrote is a definite piece of support. I mean, it is a way to validate what I've gone through, because that's what's so difficult, to find someone that will actually validate it. You know, we can talk to our friends, we can talk to our family, and they might understand a little bit, but they haven't been there. They don't know what it's really like inside.
That's true.
You know,
have the book, though. I do have the book, and I have enjoyed that book. It's like a Bible to me.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely, yeah, highlighted in many different colors, because
yes.
As I go through, I find something else that, oh,
yes,
I didn't catch
exactly.
that last time. And
mm-hmm.
So that one's getting pink, and this one's getting orange, and that one's getting green. And
I got one just like it, so.
Well, thank you for that. And I wanted to make a comment, too, about the support group, as it doesn't even have to necessarily be an abused women's support group, because if you think about this, you're on a kind of a spiritual personal growth path, and any kind of women's group or group that is focusing on support for growth, for personal growth, could be very beneficial.
Okay.
So just something to think about. And also, part of my reason for initiating the call was to see if there was an interest for a private group, a private phone support group for this topic. So I'm kind of running a series of tests over the next few weeks or whatever to see if there is an interest. But that might be something that would be offered.
Oh, okay. Well, you will keep me on your list and
absolutely.
Let me know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think this has been a really interesting experience. I've not, you know, dealt with this talk show or, you know, any of these kind of things yet. So it was something new for me to learn how to do. And I imagine there probably are other people that intended or wanted to get involved tonight that weren't able to.
Right.
So I, you know, testing out new things takes time, and I'm just I'm proud of you for what you've done. I you know, I'm proud of you and thank you for the things that you are doing, and you're jumping out there and you're trying new things to help the rest of us. And
right. And
also I think that it helps. I mean, I think that it helps you also to realize, you know, how special you are, and that you do have something, you know, important to share with the rest of us, not just information, but your heart and your true having gone through everything and recovered and to be such a beautiful person on the other end. That's what we're all striving for.
Oh, thank you.
That's
thank
right.
you. I so appreciate that. And I'm going to wrap it up in a minute, but I want to invite you. Notice that there's some person on the call that we haven't heard from yet, and that's Daniel. And Daniel and I are actually working together with a company called Sedona Talk Radio. And Sedona Talk Radio is just being introduced to the world. We're co-hosting this or bringing it together. And it's going to be for the purpose of bringing spiritual and personal growth information to the world. Basically, it's going to be an internet radio, or it is an internet radio program. So we're going to have lots of really interesting topics, great speakers. We're just really excited about what's coming. So I just wanted to introduce you to Daniel and have him just say a little bit about what we got going.
Well, thank you, Kalia. It's been a real pleasure, actually, to work with Kalia. We're good friends, and I've actually been around her as she went through some relationships, so I can relate to the things that she's sharing. And we're just very excited because the SedonaTalkRadio.com, I'll say that again, SedonaTalkRadio.com.
Dan and his radio voice.
Thank you. Yes, that's well, we'll have a good time anyway, but there is lots of content, and we've got a someone who's joining us on June the 4th, which is someone who does very, very large call-in talk shows. So we've got somebody very special that's coming, and we're looking forward to that, and lots of other information and content from all kinds of different things. So thank you for being with us tonight, and thank you, Kalia, for a truly wonderful call, which very clearly has been of great benefit to our callers. So thank you for that.
You're welcome, and I think it went pretty well for the first time. What do you guys think? What do you powerful women think?
Oh, I enjoyed it.
I did too. I very much enjoyed it, and I'm going to be looking into SedonaTalkRadio.com. So
yeah, yeah.
I think that sounds wonderful too. I'm looking forward to all the avenues that you're moving in, and for everyone to grow with.
Right.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure we're going to do a lot more on this topic. I feel like it's something that needs to get out to the world. So this is not the end of this one, and you'll hear from me later. And you both are on my mailing list, so I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining me.
Well, thank you.
And helping me to move into new frontiers successfully.
That's great.
And
well,
really,
thank you, and we're proud and looking forward to moving with you on them.
Exactly, oh, exactly.
Well, thank you. I'm rooting for you both, and feel free to keep in touch with me. You know where to find me.
Okay.
I'm at Kalia, K-A-L-E-A-H, at Kalia.com, or also I'm at Kalia at SedonaTalkRadio.com.
Okay, I didn't know about that.
So feel free to drop me an email, let me know how you're doing.
All right.
Okay.
Definitely so, and thank you all.
Thank
and
you. You have
to you, Delphine.
All right. Thank you so much.
All righty. You all have a great evening. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
Blessings to you all.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. No matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.